say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right, damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
I'm going back to Cali.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome back to an F Yeah Friday, where my man Keenan McCardell is sitting across the table from me here at Trailer Wheel and Frame, along with Barry Laminack to my left, and we are discussing the topics of last night, today, and the weekend. And at the same time, we are giving praise to Nick because he is still on an all-time high because his Cougs won the game that he did say they were going to win. That's why we're getting some great tunes, I guess, coming and from break.
Hey, what does FEF mean?
F yeah means whatever you want it to mean.
Oh, I thought you were saying F-E-F.
No.
Like F-yeah. The letters.
F-yeah Friday. F-yeah.
I think you could figure out.
You were saying F-yeah.
If we were Sirius Radio or XM, I could let you know a little bit more
in detail.
No,
I get but I literally thought you were saying F-yeah.
If I was Granato or Mario Ellie, I'd tell you right now. I mean, that's different.
Okay, that makes much more sense. Because
F-yeah Friday.
See, yeah, but it sounds like you're saying F-E-F like really fast when you say
that's
it.
That's when I say El Jefe.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple of texts. Somebody said where Houston exactly falls in the top 25 will depend on the rest of the weekend and how many other teams drop out. Louisville, I believe, will drop out of the top 15.
Top 10,
huh? Yeah. Somebody said
out.
Oh, where'd it go?
Boy, you're getting just like him.
What?
You may not be right, but you're never wrong.
I like it.
No, I just say he's going
to
be out.
Guns.
They're going to be out.
Well, why change your mind?
Well, stick to
if
your guns
if
and go.
You're passionate.
There you go.
Somebody said if Knight and Garrett are healthy, they'll take A&M over U of H. If both are out and hobbled, then they would take U of H. They know it's a stupid if situation, but that's their
It's just, to me, that would be considered another big game. It's a shame they can't do that. They can't do it here in Houston, but I would hope that they can try and line up a bowl game like that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, be fun. That would be a great game.
It's
just like the Thanksgiving
talent
game that we're getting shafted on.
That you used to get.
We're getting shafted on the UTA.
And not only that, but it would be Sumlin against his old team. There's so many storylines there.
That's exactly right.
That would be fun.
It'd be pretty good.
Two great recruiters.
Yes.
Somebody, okay, now, I didn't send this text, so don't get mad at me.
It's fine.
But somebody asked Keenan if he is down with the living room analogy. Because he said that this apparently the texter doesn't like it, and they know that I've said I'm indifferent on it, that I don't really care.
Trav loves it.
Okay.
Nick likes it.
You guys, you and Trav
Nick
love
hates it.
Nick likes it.
I like it.
But they want to know where you stand on it, because apparently they're wanting a vote.
They want to vote?
Yeah, get rid of
last time I
room.
Checked, the texter didn't happening. Work at Gao Media, so they can just move on.
But they want to know, because I think you're the only one that hasn't been on record.
I like the living room.
There you go.
And we always
that's
said,
because I got a big plush chair in the living room.
And we always said
from
the barbershop.
And a coaster with nice beverages.
Yeah, the way we prefaced it was from the locker room from the barbershop to the locker room to the living room. It doesn't matter where you are and where you talk sports. It's always it's always about.
You don't like the living room?
I'm.
That's why he's got the bearskin rug over by the front door.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't.
You like man cave or something?
No, I just like.
You don't like man cave either?
No, I mean, we don't need it. Just listen to the show and enjoy it. We don't need all the glitter, the fancy stuff. We got a good show.
That's why you came in sixth.
Yeah, we're fancy, Mac. Tell them.
Hey, you don't know if I was sixth. Hold on. You don't know if I was sixth. I never said what.
He went on the internet. He checked the new ratings. They're out since this morning.
You're number six. You dropped out of the top three. You dropped out of the top three.
You're behind Big Dick.
You dropped out of the top three, bro. Let's go.
They don't have comedy ratings, do they? Let me see.
You fell right behind Big Dick.
Damn. Again.
Yep. Big Dick.
Boy, if I had a nickel for every time.
Dick is going to be chasing you the rest of the year.
He's chasing you.
Oh, I'd be a rich man.
You guys are going head to head more times than you know.
Stop it, Joe.
It's a huge weekend.
You're making me blush. It's so hot in here. Woo.
Your little birdies are flying off now.
Hot in her.
I got Scott in Deer Park telling me he's going to wear me out the next time he sees me. I have no idea what that means, but Lauren Pope and I are a little scared about that. So.
You do know his vitals, though, right?
Like I said, he's the 12th and 13th man.
Hey,
for
Scott, tweet me if that was you that added me on Facebook. Because if it is, Barry, you better run.
You better run.
You better hope you outrun that man, because if he catches you, But you know that commercial where they say what your underwear makes you, and it looks like you put it in a grind? He's going to do that to you.
Oh, hey, we did get a good text. How's the Movember donations going? I will look that up.
That's on the list.
I will bring that up. I'll pull it up now.
Yep, because Scott and Will and Deer Park are both going to match whatever we raise.
You're on two teams, so.
I am.
And you know, still haven't.
But he's not doing it.
You're not doing it.
I've only been plugging.
Scott, come get him. Make him do his beard.
I've already said why, or I would. I would totally do it.
You
would have didn't have
you
would have
came in third if you'd had your
man. You don't know. Look how creepy that looks. Look how creepy that looks.
That does look creepy.
See, I told you.
All right. Well, we have one in the books. We had 2 hours to go when we started this segment, and one of the big things of the day that slipped kind of by the wayside with everything that was going on last night is your Astros actually made a splash in Major League Baseball. They made a few moves, and they did some things where they finally committed some money so that they can try and better their ball club and make a run at it next year. And I, for one, like one of the moves. The other one I have a little bit of a question about. But they traded with the Yankees to get catcher Brian McCann.
Yep.
And, Barry, you and I are on record as saying the two major positions where they had to upgrade were catcher and first base and then third base to some degree. But at the same time, because of all the guys they had, third base wasn't as big of an issue. Mm-hmm. First base and catcher. They get themselves a catcher that in his worst years – his numbers were better than Castro's best years, if you go back and look at it.
Yeah.
So Castro's best years weren't even close. McCann was still better when he had his worst years. And McCann made
right.
He struggled when he left the Braves and went to the Yankees and came to the American League, and it took him a little time. But he's got power. He's a really good receiver behind the plate. He's experienced, and he's a leader in the clubhouse because I remember when guys circle the bases in Showboat, he's the first guy to say, you're going to get knocked down, and we're going to take care of business and talk. I like everything about that move.
It is it's a significant upgrade at the position. And I think that the bigger impact on the Astros for next year is going to be his leadership.
Yep.
And it's going to be, especially when they went through spurts where they struggled. And if you look at this team as built, your leader by default is Jose Altuve, but he's not a guy that's a vocal leader. He leads
right.
by example on the field. So now you've got a guy who's been there in some of the biggest games with the Yankees. They can come in and say, listen, I've been here, done that. You guys calm down. We got this. We can do this. And help this team navigate the troubles that they got into like they did last season. Plus, if and when they do make the playoffs, he can help there as well. And he gives you a guy that can DH at times when you got Evan Gattis that comes in. So
and I'll take that a step further. He's gonna be so valuable for that young pitching staff.
I'm just about to say
he's
that.
He's settle
gonna,
down
he's
McCullers
yes.
and the young pitching staff,
God,
especially in big games.
Maybe he can get the $7 million worth out of Charlie Morton because that right now was the stupidest thing.
The other two moves I don't understand. Charlie Morton, 2 years and $14 million from the Phillies.
That makes him, right now, based on last year's payroll, he would be tied with Doug Fister for second on the staff. And only Keuchel made $7.25 million.
Are you good with Fister still
that's
free agent?
A horrible
Are you good
thing.
Bringing him back?
Yeah, I mean, he was your ace last year.
Why not?
I thought for a lot of the year he was their ace, and I look at it and go, I hope that's not the reason why they don't bring Fister back. Fister's a local guy. He liked playing here. He had a heck of a season. He's not going to overpower you, but he got the job done. And of the free agents that are out there for the Astros, I hope he comes back because he was valuable to
if
them.
You're not
you
gonna,
need pitching.
If you're not going to go out and make a splash, then you have to bring back arguably your best pitcher on the staff last year.
Yeah,
and so far, Charlie Morton isn't a splash. I'm sorry. That is like that. I just don't understand. That's not even value.
Well,
like
Charlie Morton,
I don't like
around.
The Reddick signing, but it's value.
It's
a
good value pick.
And we can
it's
talk more about him.
Signing.
But on the other side,
I hope Charlie Morton doesn't trump bringing back Fister. That's what I'm saying.
That could be the
issue right
like
there.
Like you're swapping Charlie Morton for – well, that's the dumbest thing ever.
That would bother me a lot because I really like what Fister brought to the table. And Mac, you're right. McCann's a guy that can settle down any pitcher and any pitching staff, but I think he'd much rather have Fister and a veteran that can really do some things and manage a game than taking a Charlie Morton on, but he'll have to deal with all of them. The other move that I am not sold on is a move we talk about when we come back, but they also added an outfielder, and it wasn't the big bat we were expecting, like Joey Bats, like Encarnacion, like guys like that, but it was a guy that was in their division for most of last year, so it's a guy Astros fans are familiar with, but we'll talk his name and the money he got and how many years and a lot more, ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember at Gal Media. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com and search for Gal Media to donate to your favorite hosts. This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, along with Keenan McCardell on an F Yeah Friday.
I love you, Joel. I love you so much.
Yeah, Friday. I hear you, Joel.
And you know what F stands for as well as fantastic football, fantasy, everything like that fun? Falbo Brothers. Falbo Brothers this weekend is doing a special just for all of our listeners, and they also sponsor Barry's show on Sundays with Shock. Falbo Brothers Pizza is going to have a special. If you're out in the Sugar Land area and you want the best takeout pizza you will ever have in this city, Falbo Brothers Pizza, right there on Sweetwater Boulevard and 59. Hani is the guy, H-A-N-I. You go in there and you tell everybody there, you listen to ESPN 97.5 and you want the special. You get two pizzas, and if you buy two pizzas, you get the third pizza for free. And I'm telling you, between the stuffed pizza, the deep dish pizza, and the hand tossed, that pizza is all world. And the other day I brought half of a pizza in for Travis because he had never tried the deep dish, and it was cold, and not shockingly, he ate it all. And he said, I mean, it was still as good as if you had just taken it out of the oven, ate it. Obviously, it was cold, but the taste and everything, it's a fantastic pizza, and you need to try it. For the big game Saturday and Sunday, watching NFL, watching college, have some people over to the house, grab some Falbo Brothers. They are fantastic. The pizza's even better. How about that?
I like it.
So, we were talking about the Astros, and I said I like the McCann move. I wasn't sold on the Charlie Morton thing, right? And I really hope they bring Pfister back, because you got guys, the free agents that they have out there are Rasmus, Castro, Valbuena, and Pfister. And I looked at it last night and said, they got to bring Pfister back. I like Valbuena, but because they have a glutton of infielders, I don't think, and because you have Gurriel in the mix along with Bregman and everybody, I just don't know if you have a spot for Valbuena anymore. And he was sporadic. He gave you a little pop. But the one guy that I felt like you had to bring back was Pfister, because your rotation's going to be so important. And here's a veteran guy that's proven he can win whenever you need him to go out there and pitch. And every fifth day he shows up. So I hope Charlie Morton doesn't trump the entire idea of bringing Doug Pfister back, because I think Fister's a local guy. He gave him a hometown discount last year, and I think he lived up to his end of the bargain for the most part. The move I'm not sold on is right after the announcement was made that they got McCann, they announced that Josh Reddick, the outfielder that spent most of the season with the Oakland A's and then was traded to the Dodgers for the postseason along with Rich Hill, was signed to a four-year, $52 million contract by your Astros to play the outfield. I looked at the numbers. Barry's looked at the numbers. I basically think you got a glorified Kobe Rasmus. I'm not sure, because I was looking for an out. If they were going to make a splash and they were going to get an outfielder, I expected it to be someone with a lot of pop in that bat. And Reddick had, what, 10 bombs?
Yeah.
Two, 280 hitter, 10 bombs. I like the average a little better, but essentially Rasmus gave you more power numbers. And I just look at it and go, for that amount of money, I was expecting a little bit more, literally bang for the buck.
This was a move, I think, to bring some experience on this team. It's a young team. They expect this talent to push them into the playoffs next year.
Right.
And they feel like they needed a veteran to be able that's been in some playoff games and that can get them to the next level in the locker room. That's why the McCann acquisition was so important. So this was a part of putting some veteran players pieced with the young talent, and I think this move was basically on that alone.
You like it, Barry?
I don't. I think that, I mean, the one good thing is I think they got him for a little bit of a bargain. I mean, $13.5 million in Major League Baseball isn't a ton of money, and I think
for
market value.
For it was one of the production. It's a lot.
Playing?
Of money.
It is. But for
are you playing him in left field?
So he was one of the, I think, of the top 15 free agents.
Right.
But at the bottom end of that, I mean, I would have him at 14, 15, somewhere in there.
So not elite, but better than average.
Yeah, but they got a decent deal on him because he was probably worth. I mean, market wise, he was probably worth in the neighborhood of 15 to 16 million. Yep. So you got a little bit of value out of him. But I think at the end of the day, what you did is, like you said, you signed a Kobe Rasmus for right field, which it solves a center field problem because now you move George Springer into center field.
Yeah, right.
And so you've solidified that spot because that's where you were weak, is center field and left field. So you've fixed one issue, but there were other options out there. The Astros said they were going to spend money. So they went out and got McCain, and in that, the Yankees agreed to pitch in some money.
I think they're covering like five and a half million of his salary. Yeah, I mean, there was going to be a parting of the ways there anyway because the Yankees went out and got him at a time when they thought they were going to be competitive for 3 to 5 years. Now they realize they're not, so they're just trying to unload salary. They realize a team like Houston, they would love to have him, but they weren't going to pay him at the contract that the Yankees paid him when they overpaid in free agency to get him. So in order to make the deal happen, they take a little chunk out of it. Makes it easier for both sides.
So what was it, about $11 million that he was getting, and they're paying five and a half?
Five and a half.
Is that what
yes.
I saw?
Five and a half a year for 2 years, and then there's an option year at like 17 or 18 the third year, and that's not going to happen. They'll renegotiate after that.
That's a great deal for the Astros, though. I mean,
Yeah, especially at one of the two positions that was a sore need.
Yes.
And they gave away a couple of prospects that weren't in their top 10 as far as prospects go.
And here,
so that's good. And the Yankees got something for him. With the emergence of Sanchez, they didn't need him anymore.
Yankees are rebuilding.
And he wanted to catch. And I think the fascinating thing about this trade is he had a 100% no trade clause. Like he didn't have a list. A lot of times athletes will sign a list of one or two.
He had no list.
So he gave them a short list. And the Astros was on there because I think he realized this is a team that he could come and catch.
Right.
And that's what he said he wanted to do. He wanted to catch every day. He still feels like he has 2 or 3 years left. So I think it's a good move for all parties involved. I just feel like, though, there were free agents that I really wanted to see the Astros go after. Reddick was on the list because of his ability to be able to move George Springer into center field and fill a hole. But he was last on that list for me. You had guys like Cespedes that if you're going to spend money, you got a guy that you could plug into left field and solve a huge problem.
On both sides.
Could you imagine a top five in your order of Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Cespedes, Correa?
Well,
that's insane.
Okay, and to that point,
and you're talking about $12 million a year more.
I wasn't a Bautista guy.
So it's a lot. It's double.
I'm not a Bautista guy, but I'm thinking. I'm saying between Cespedes and Encarnacion, you put either one of those guys in the cleanup with the other guys you mentioned. Now you're talking about a lineup that you can't pitch around.
Sure. But when I made the list of guys, I looked for veteran guys, but not too old. Like I think Bautista's too old.
I think Joey's on the downside.
But these guys, so Cespedes is 31. I was looking at Ian Desmond. I mean, they did the trade for McCann, but Ian Desmond is a 31-year-old catcher whose market value right now is about $16 million.
Yeah.
And you add him to the mix, and he's not only does he hit for power, but you get stolen bases out of the catcher position.
True.
Which is rare, and this team loves to run. Yeah. So I think he would have been a good fit. You had Trumbo out there, who not only could play right field, let you move George Springer into center, but he could come in and play first. So you can
I would put it first.
If Tucker has a great spring, maybe you bring in Tucker or Daz Cameron if they're ready. I think it's too early for him.
I think it is too.
But there's a shot of that, especially if you have a guy like Trumbo who can play the outfield, can play first, and can DH if you're going to keep Valbuena at a discount or whoever you want to slide over there. So there's tons of options for Trumbo to me. And he was you could get him for less than $20 million. So I think that was a guy they should have looked at.
They already brought
back
Gattis. So Gattis, I would assume, is going to be their designated hitter and platoon catch when McCann needs a day off. So I don't think they're going to do anything else there, and that's what worries me. I don't think they're going to go out and pursue any more bats if they do anything to look at pitching because of the fact that they feel like they spent enough money and they're done. And, again, that's why I go back and say, look, there were guys other than Reddick you might have had to pay a little bit more, but you would have gotten a lot more bang for your buck.
We're talking about Reddick like, you know, he wasn't a top 25. You're saying he was about 15.
Yeah, I would say he was about
15. On MLB.com, they think he's the fifth-rated free agent.
For outfielders or overall?
Overall.
I'm talking about overall.
Overall.
I mean, he might have been top three or five free agents. Wow, that seems way high.
So
you're talking about a guy who
got it for, if you got it for 13 million, you got a bargain.
But you're talking about a guy who since 2012, when he played 156 games for the A's, has only played more 115 games more than 150 games once.
Yeah, and Cody said, well, look, in 2012, years. He hit 242, but he hit 32 bombs and drove in 85 RBIs. Great. Guess what? That was 2012. This is now. This is now, and what we're looking at is what he did last year. And what he did last year, I can count how many home runs
he sat on a bench.
The injuries concern me. Listen to his games that played since 2012.
That's the problem right there.
He went 114, 109, 149, 115. That scares me. Especially coming from
a team
that
had 50 games each year where you're going to be questioning everything. Going, where is that coming from?
You had a lot of injuries last year. Listen, when we say this is Colby Rasmus all over again,
no doubt.
It very well could. You lost Colby Rasmus because of injury last year. So yeah. I'm not impressed.
So you better have
I thought Colby Rasmus
have a young guy behind him.
I thought Rasmus was overpaid at $9 million. Now you got another version of him on the other side, on the other corner at 13.
Yeah, maybe younger, but maybe not much better.
Yeah.
So if you want to chime in on it, hit us up on Twitter. Call us 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. We're here till 4 o'clock. We are at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 and the Canino exit. Head up north as you're heading out from downtown. Stop by, grab some food, grab a beverage, and then hang out with us for a while we wrap up the show. 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your
Barry
life.
And Keenan McCardell from Trailer Wheel and Frame on I-45 and Canino. So stop by and see us. We're here till 4 o'clock. Nick found the Astros, and we found some callers that want to talk about it because at least, look, you guys got something to talk about. The hot stove, which has been very cold in years past, is heating up in baseball, and the Astros are players. That's all you can ask for because you want them to compete. So that is a big thing. And the fact that the Astros are trying to make moves to be the team that Sports Illustrated thinks they're going to be this year, I think is a very big thing. So I'm pleased with it. I'm not sold on the guy that – they got in free agency. I love the McCann move. I think it's great. And again, it remains to be seen from a pitching perspective if Charlie Morton's the guy.
And here's the thing. I've said Ian Desmond was a catcher. He is a center fielder.
Converted to shortstop.
Yeah, yeah. And I have him when I was filling out my chart. I didn't put the F after the C, so I had him in Wilson Ramos, who was the other guy that I felt like they should go get to fill in. So, yeah.
But that F is forgiven because F is forgiven and F is for
very
F,
very yeah, important Friday. Designation
Friday.
Though.
It's an F yeah Friday.
So there you go.
There you have it.
You got a pass.
We got some calls that want to join in the show and talk to us about the Astros. So let's without further ado head down the list. Mark, you want to talk about the Astros? What's up, man?
What's going on, Joel? Barry, love your show.
What's up, man?
Hey,
I don't think I enjoyed
so
that.
So on the
Astros
offseason, I mean, I believe that the Reddick move, I would have liked more bang for the buck. But at the same time, you know, I'm thinking they want to go strong with trying to trade for Miguel Cabrera for first base and then move Gurriel to the outfield. So, I mean, now with a trade like that, you can move prospects like Tony Camp and stuff like that. They're supplements to they're having the influence.
Mark, I got news for you. If you think Tony Kemp and prospects are going to get it done for Miguel Cabrera,
not necessarily Tony Kemp, I mean, but I'm saying like – the Paulino kid that they have down there, or Martez, you know, they might go after some pitching as well, you know, trade for some pitching like a Chris Archer or Chris Sales if he's available, you know, stuff like things like that.
But are you okay if Bregman or Springer are in one of those deals? Because I'm not.
No. I would have Bregman and Springer, Springer, Correa, all those guys. I mean, those guys, you know, you need those guys, you know, for the World Series, for the
yeah, run. I'm with you in the fact that they're untouchable in my book. Any deal that's made from this point forward needs to be just prospects alone because I don't want to touch the talent that's up at the big leagues right now because they've got that core of young talent that will make them competitive every year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if you're going to trade, you're going to trade your top prospects. Of course, that's what it's going to cost to get a Miguel Cabrera or a Chris Sales or a Chris Archer or something of that sort. But, you know, I think the Reddick move is more, you know, to be able to give versatility in the outfield where you can move Gurriel to the left field, you know, have Reddick or Springer in center, and then, you know, have the other guy play right field. You know, just you can move everybody around. It's basically being able to shift all these players around. Because, like I said, you know, one of the guys goes down, you have somebody who can replace them that plays every day already, you know? You know, Bergman goes down, Gurriel can play third base.
I like the fact that you can rotate Gurriel and Bregman at third. And Mark, thanks for the call. The thing that I worry about is you're platooning outfielders, again, that don't have that bang for the buck. You don't have that big-time home run hitter. When they come up, you're like, this guy could go deep at any time, and his pop is unbelievable. Yes, Cabrera's that kind of guy, but I don't think you're going to get Cabrera because I don't think you're going to be willing to give up what the Tigers are going to want.
Yeah.
They're only saying that they're shopping Verlander and Cabrera so they can see what's out there, and if they can absolutely bank rob somebody, they will. But other than that, those guys aren't going anywhere either. It's going to have to be at a very high price tag. I think Sale is the same thing. So I think from an Astros perspective, look, I like what they did with McCann, and they were able to do it for a very reasonable price in today's market. I'm questioning the other two moves for now. We'll see what it means. If you get Charlie Morton, but it doesn't mean you're going to lose Fister, then I'm okay with it. But I don't like the rotation minus Fister because I like what he brought in terms of a guy you could lean on when Keuchel and other guys, McCullers was hurt, Keuchel wasn't performing to that level. I like it. And to Keenan, your point, I like the fact that Keuchel now becomes probably more of your ace than last year. Now he's working with an experienced catcher and a backstop that can help him through some times when he seemed like he was on an island all by himself. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, having the depth is one thing. I mean, you can move guys around. You know, being able to switch Gurriel and Bregman is fine. I don't know that you want to be shuffling around your outfield too much, moving guys. Having a guy that can move around is great. I mean, when you look at somebody like Colby Rasmus, you know, or George Springer, they can play a corner or play center field.
But they did it with the Marisnik,
too. They can play a left. Yep. Yeah, and that's fine. But that also means it's almost like having a utility outfielder as opposed to a guy who owns his position.
Right.
Like, you want guys that are so good
that they don't want to come out.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can't afford to take them out.
Being able
to move guys around is one thing, and that's great from a depth perspective.
You want that chemistry back there.
And the fact that, hey, last year it played into their favor that they were banged up a little bit, and so they could move outfielders around.
And,
same thing on the infield.
And I like Marisnik's speed. I like him as a pinch runner. I like him, you know, platooning every now and then, giving a guy a break. But I'm with you. And especially the corner outfielders, I want pop. I want a guy that's going to show up every day, and the other team is going to fear that he can go yard at any time. And Josh Reddick doesn't do that for me.
And there was an interesting text. Somebody said that perhaps what they're doing is they went out and got a right. Hopefully Reddick was brought in so that they can trade Springer for a number one or number two pitcher. Maybe that kid from the Braves. I don't know.
But do you give up Springer?
I don't want to give up Springer. It's a big risk to think you can make a move
so
like that.
Consistent, man. That's a hard, give.
I said a couple weeks ago, if there's any guy out of your core nucleus of Bregman, Gurriel, Altuve, Correa, and Springer that you could trade, the two guys are, especially now since you didn't get his brother.
His brother, right.
You trade Gurriel or you trade Springer. But Bregman, your infielders, Bregman, Correa, and Altuve, I think are the untouchables.
Yeah, I mean, that's your infield Keuchel for the next 10 years if you play your cards right.
But, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to them trading McCullers. If they could package McCullers for somebody and get an ace, a proven ace.
See, I would be more likely.
A proven ace. Yeah,
I would be more likely to give up McCullers if it meant getting a proven ace,
right?
Because then everybody moves down a notch, and McHugh and Keuchel would still be top of the charts in terms of twos and threes in rotations for most teams. So,
as long as he's not too old, that's my concern.
Yeah, you got to get a stud that's still got some left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Springer's that guy that, you know, you got Altuve. You know,
I wouldn't give up Springer.
I mean, I wouldn't give up Springer either. He's that guy.
He's part of that young core that's
going to take you to the next.
I don't want to touch him. And here's the other thing. I would give up McCullers simply because his health scares me.
Yeah, true.
I'm worried about his injuries. I'm worried about tired arm and the things he's been through in the last couple of years with his arm. That scares me because, look, I go back to Jabba Chamberlain. I go back to Strasburg. I go to guys like that where they said, hey, we're going to take him along slowly. He's on an innings count. We've got to make sure that he never – and guess what? They both still blew out their arm.
Yep,
so
right.
That scares me that McCullers hasn't had the major, but it seems like it's right around the corner with the way that he's been – you know, he's been going through things. So we'll continue to discuss that. We can talk about some other things. 713-780-ESPN. Give us a call. Join the show. Text us, tweet us, and we'd love to have you a part of what we do here Monday through Friday, 1 to 4. Before we turn it over to a little bit of a rest and relaxation period for a couple minutes, I want to tell you about my friends at Infuse Energy, because Infuse Energy doesn't sell electricity. They sell a necessary relationship that you guys need for your house or your business that's refreshingly honest and uncomplicated. Infuse Energy is a brand of energy like no other because they're locally owned and operated, and they're not out to screw you. They are out to make sure that you get into a relationship with an energy company that puts a package together that is the best fit for you and your family or your business. InfuseEnergy.com, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You use the code ESPN975, $25 bill credit right off the top. But Infuse Energy is the place that you should get your energy from because it's 100% green energy. It's at your fingertips. You sign up and choose a green plan that offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint. As I mentioned, Josh, the CEO, Houston guy, owned and operated here in the Houston area, and he will make sure his customer service department answers the phone personally and takes care of whatever needs you have from a program that you wanted to get into or a plan that you signed up for that isn't the right fit. He'll take care of anything and everything for you. InfuseEnergy.com, 844-INFUSE2. Tell him Joel sent you at ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Joe, it's Barry, it's Keenan. We are at Trailer Wheel and Frame. It is a Friday. It's rainy, but we are having a good time talking sports.
Astros,
all kinds of goodness here. You know, we were talking during the break about what do you do with Springer, because that came up a little bit. And a name that comes up often for the Astros and in hopes of going out and getting a guy like Chris Sale. And I absolutely would trade George Springer for like Chris Sale in a heartbeat. But that's the kind of caliber guy you need to get. I mean, if you can give up a good right fielder for an ace, those guys aren't a dime a dozen.
It's going to be a right fielder and a top prospect.
Yeah.
Maybe two top prospects.
That would be fine with me. I mean, I like George Springer, and as an Astros fan, it's fun to watch that kid. But I sure would like watching Sale pitch in a playoff game a couple times and give
you
a distinct advantage.
Are you okay with what he could do in the locker room, though?
Sale?
Whatever.
They say he could be a real locker room.
See, and that's the
cancer.
Thing. That's
whatever.
The thing. Do you bring a guy
saying,
in?
Are you okay with it?
Do you
that,
bring
that
a guy in that can break it, break the locker room up? Hey, all
that's
locker rooms can be broken.
That's not
mean,
a brittle locker
or
room,
do you,
I don't think.
Are you keep a guy that's probably the nuts and bolts of that locker room? I mean, Springer is a guy that
that's true.
Know,
that's
he's
true.
A guy that everybody, you know, likes and loves.
That's true.
He's a glue guy.
Yes.
He brings everybody
Chandler
together.
Parsons.
You're right. Like, yeah. He, you know, he's got relationships. He's got
Rockets,
relationships
you forgot about
across
him.
The league where a lot of guys would like to play with him. He's a fun-loving guy. You know, they always show him, and he's, you know, he's bopping and weaving in the dugout to music, and he's got the shades on, and he's having fun. And,
yeah.
You know, he's a great defensive outfielder. I just wouldn't be quick to trade him. I think, again.
Well, I'm just saying if it comes up. I'm not saying trade him. But I'm just saying, if there were teams out there, if there were teams out there that were saying, "Hey, we've got a bona fide ace that's under 35 that we're looking to move, but we want Springer and a top 10 prospect from your farm system," but because you're not trading your infielders, you're not trading Bregman, Correa, or Altuve. So other than McCullers or Keuchel or Springer, you know, or Gurriel,
I'm with you on the
so,
Gurriel thing.
But
Gurriel,
I think they're going to want Springer.
Gurriel was the guy I think was twofold. You got him in because he's obviously a hit for average guy, and he did that.
Right.
But part of the deal was the unspoken word was you wanted his brother to sign with Toronto. So
well, that didn't work.
I think that's something that gives him less value with the Astros, maybe more value to a team that's trying to make a splash. Maybe you send him to Toronto because Toronto wants to put him with his brother. So
yeah.
I don't know. But then I would like I said all along, I thought Encarnacion was a guy that could play first base, give you a big pop bat.
Sure would.
Only for about three, you know, sign him to like a short-term deal, 3 years, two, 3 years. But, boy, oh, boy, that stick in the middle of that lineup would
and
be.
And he could DH too,
yeah.
Boy.
Okay, so real quick, I'm going to do a Movember update, and then we got a call.
Yep.
But it's going back to U of H, but that's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Stop it.
Nick, why are you doing that?
We lost you for about 15 or 20 seconds, but I think we're back on the air.
Oh, wow. What'd you guys do over there? They said we were off the air. What are y'all doing?
For about 20 seconds, yeah, you guys were off the air, so I don't know.
Do I need to come in there and produce?
No, you know, Bear, you know what happened was? He spent all that time on that little montage about U of H, and he forgot the important stuff, like keeping us on the air.
The important stuff is that we have U of H callers on hold that you guys keep dodging, Bear.
No. I'm doing the Movember update.
Bear is dodging this.
I'm doing the Movember update, and then we're there. By the way, though, I learned how to produce yesterday, so
I saw that on
Be careful.
Twitter,
Nick.
Yeah.
You learned how to produce? The ones and twos and everything?
Yeah. I was running the 1560 board during the entire Blitz show.
It's bad, Nick.
Oh, who, Barry's?
Yes, his music choices are bad.
Yeah, you don't even know what I choose, Keenan.
I'm going to stick up for Barry on
Thank
that.
Thank you. Are you serious?
You don't know.
You have no idea.
You really don't. My top fader, he's got it.
You think I would play all chick songs, but I wouldn't. I know where that's where you're going with it. That's not the case.
No,
all right. So, anyways, the Blitz has 2,070. We're in second place. We had $239.
Okay.
Okay. But we had two guys, Scott and Will, both out of Deer Park, who said that they would match whatever we got at the end of the week. And Will, as a man of his word, has already added his $239 to our pot.
What about Scott?
Scott's got to come next.
Scott's tipped off at Barry because he's at Louisville, but we got to work on that.
Scott owes us $239, but then Lauren Pope added some money in, so we are
Hey, Lauren, how you doing?
Yeah,
that's great.
We are sitting at $488. I am very proud
but
of that.
As
a team, we did
a
good.
Long second.
How's your Sunday show doing?
But you know... Don't bring that up. And then third place is Nathan Crate at $64. And then Raheel Shock, which is our Houston Game Day show on Sunday, and Steve Bunin all have $9. They've not raised.
Steve only has $9?
Yeah, and he's on a national show. That's sad. Yeah.
Steve,
that's
come on. We're going to have to talk to Steve. I'm going to have to talk to Steve.
But here we've done good.
He'll debate you.
And so, yeah, thank you to everybody that's donated. And once we get Scott and Deer Park's money in there, we should be over close to $700.
Well, you're going to have to apologize to Scott about his
Cougars.
I'm
not apologizing to anybody. Speaking of Cougars, let's go to the call. What's his name, Nick?
Nick and Crosby. Sorry about the wait, bud.
Nick, we're sorry.
Go ahead, Nick. What's up, man?
Shoot, nothing much is going on with y'all.
Wait to hear from you, Nick. Talk about your Cougs. Give Barry a hard time. Bring it.
Hey, no, it's more of a question. All right, so with this win over over two top five teams, right? I heard yesterday that they're the only team in the country to do that so far. So my question is, what they have done this year, do you think this could lead to the committee or whoever makes these decisions for the bowls for instead of the bid for the non-Power 5 school to get one of the New Year's Six games, instead of it being like the highest ranked school that wins their conference, could it lead to them changing it to just who's the highest ranked team? Because, I mean, it's really, you know, they deserve to have one of those bowls, you know. It shouldn't go to Western Michigan or Boise State just because they win their conference, you know what I mean?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but it's going to go off. You know, Western Michigan is 10-0 right now. And I understand that because you beat two top five teams, you think that you're a better team and you're more deserving of it, but Western Michigan is a 10-0 team right now, which I think should be higher ranked than where they are.
My answer would have been, if you were so concerned about all of that and you want to do it like that, then you shouldn't have lost to Navy and you shouldn't have lost to SMU, because if you could have done that and you could have won the games you were supposed to win on top of the two top fives, you wouldn't have had to worry about anything because it would have taken care of itself. The fact that now they put themselves in this predicament, they only have to blame themselves because of the fact that I definitely didn't see the SMU game. We warned you about the Navy game because
of the
fact that they're such an unconditional offense that no one practices for. But I just go back to those two games and say, what if?
Like I said earlier, what if, you know, I watched the SMU game, and no, it wasn't a doubt in my mind that U of H was going to win that game when it first started.
Yeah.
But when I saw them play, they looked like the reversal of Louisville and Houston, SMU was Houston.
I was going to say, and
Houston was Louisville.
Yeah.
It looked the exact opposite.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're right. What if they wouldn't be in the playoffs. They wouldn't be worried about one of the bowl games outside of the top four. If they have won those two games, they would be talking about the Cougars in the playoffs.
man.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The what if factor is just, to me, is huge, just simply because of the fact that, you know, they should have, they absolutely could have handled their own business if they took care of business against those two teams. Now, the call we've all been waiting for is on hold.
Yes.
And I cannot wait to
Scott get on this phone.
The music that came to my ears when I heard Scott and Deer Park's on hold was like, screw everything that I had been talking about. Scott, get in here, man.
I owe you, Barry. Your butt is draft, man. You know that.
Scott, don't get him. For what? Because I gave my opinion.
About what? Come on, bro. Come on, man.
About the U of H Cougars,
man. You do not know anything about college football. Period. You proved it yesterday.
Well, now the peanut gallery is involved.
Will not save your tail.
Wait a minute. So if I don't know anything about college football, then the men that get paid millions of dollars to set odds in Vegas don't know anything about college football either, because they had them at 14.5-point underdogs. So don't tell me that, man.
I can't talk to them guys, but I can talk to you.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
Scott said I can get close to you. Right.
You were a gentleman. You sent a tweet. It was cool. I mean, you're fine. Yeah, Barry keeps talking smack, man. I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, he said because you sent a tweet to say congrats. I'm not. Scott didn't play in that game. I'm not congratulating him.
Well, Scott, I don't think he's a believer. He's still not a believer, Scott.
He's trying to get me beat up, Keenan.
No, you don't have to. But I'm just saying, man. You talked all that smack, and even
I sure did, boy.
He ain't done.
Even Keenan just said it, you know, about how this worked and why we got what we got. And I can say we. Unlike you, Barry, because you ain't never played for nobody.
You played for U of H?
Yes, I did. 4 years, two cotton
Look
bowls.
At you! Two cotton bowls.
Two cotton bowls.
Son!
He can say we all
you
day
can
long.
Say we. That's yeah. right. You know what? You know what? The bigger deal about that is that U of H actually made a Cotton Bowl. That's amazing.
Are you serious?
That's Bill Young,
Scott. When Bill Young was there,
are you serious? I know, man. I got an Andre Ware jersey at the house. Don't even start that. I'm just giving Scott a hard time.
There's
man.
Like a line of people allowed that want to get Barry outside right now.
No, but Barry, I love you, Barry. But
I appreciate it, Scott. You're the man, dude.
I hope that we keep big game, Tom. I hope we do. Work around a campfire, from what I've heard. If he wants to prove it to these people that he can do it outside of the Power Five, I don't know how true that is. But
that'd
man,
be great.
I shook hands with yesterday evening. I shook hands with 10 top recruits.
Nice,
out of Houston.
Nice.
And man, I hope we get them. I hope we get them.
You know what? If you get half of them,
that's
big deal.
I said. Yes. I said to you on Twitter, Scott. Yeah, if you get eight to ten, eight of the ten, or five of the ten. That's a huge accomplishment because that's one of the big things that keeps Tom Herman here. He knows in his own backyard he doesn't have to go out and recruit anywhere with airline tickets and rental cars. He goes out within a 32-mile radius, and he can get five of the top players in the country. Look at that.
Well, I mean, if you saw them St. Joe, I don't know if you were here then, but when we were against Yeoman, that's what Yeoman did.
Bill Yeoman, baby.
Yeah, that's the Red Cowboy move.
Hey, Scott, if he continues to put ranked teams on his schedule, he could get into the playoffs outside of the Power Five. I mean,
well, but just so that John Granato hears this, the non-conference, if it involves a home and home with Rice,
if they throw 7-9 at him, man, I hope Uncle Tillman kicks in, man.
Yeah.
All right, Scott. So get on the phone with Tillman Fertitta now. Tell him to ante up for Tom Herman, and then make sure that he donates to Movember before you double it. Because then you'll have to double what Tillman donates, and that'll get ugly, and we would love that. But we appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. Scott and Deer Park still reveling in the win by the Cougars. It's Keenan, it's Barry, it's Joel. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember at Gow Media. Brought to you by the Boardroom Salon and Man Centers.